We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
President Biden has intensified his attacks on GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, in part by delivering a major speech on threats to democracy and the anniversary of January 6th. And Trump has responded by somehow finding new ways to unravel into an even more unhinged and incoherent mess season. And honestly, I'm not sure I can handle another presidential election that's as manic and terrifying as the last two. I mean, physically. Like, in terms of the toll it will take on me. And say what you will about Donald Trump, he's finally getting serious and showing voters that he's laser-focused on the issues that matter to them.
If I didn't run, or if I was, like, running in third, fourth, fifth place or something, I wouldn't be indicted. They're not going to indict me. They go after the one in first place. You know, they're not stupid. They go after the first. And a lot of people say, they ask me two questions. First, they say, sir, how do you do it? How do you wake up in the morning and put on your pants? And I say, well, I don't think about it too much. I don't want to think about it, because if I think about it too much, maybe I won't want to do it.
Gotta say, I wonder that sometimes, too. Is there like a block and tackle, like pulley system? Maybe a large trampoline and an idling forklift, a series of bungee cords, a grease slide with the open pant waist wrapped around the bottom?
So let me see if I have this right. People come up to you, Donald Trump, the former president and current four-time criminal defendant, and their number one burning question for you is, how do you put on your pants? And your response to them is, I don't overthink it, because if you do overthink it, you might not want to do it. The implication being that if you take even a second to contemplate the overwhelming weight of all the spiritual and existential dread that weighs on you at all times, you'll just forego pants and either get back into bed or walk around the house pantsless. And you said this not to a therapist, but rather a large audience at a campaign rally. And when they heard it, they were cool with it and didn't slowly and awkwardly make their way to the exits while muttering, he can't be president. I don't think he can have any job where pants are required. Also, we've seen your pants, dude. I assumed you either slept in them or got tangled in some drapes and just decided to go with that.
We'll be right back.
I sadly been listening to this guy for the better part of a decade, and I have to say, he's somehow becoming even less coherent, and that's quite a feat. Here's a completely unhinged rant from Trump about aircraft carriers or magnets or something.
I could tell you about the elevators on a tremendous aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, and they decided not to use hydraulic like a John Deere tractor. They decided to use magnets. We're going to use magnets to lift up the elevators with seven planes on them. We need them fast, these massive elevators. They used magnets. They wanted to try it for the first time. They had an almost $1 billion cost overrun on the magnetic elevators. Think of it, magnets. Now, all I know about magnets is this. Give me a glass of water. Let me drop it on the magnets. That's the end of the magnets.
No. It's not. Water doesn't defeat magnets. You're confusing magnets with fire or cell phones. They're different things. If you dropped a glass of water on some magnets, all you'd have are some wet, still-functioning magnets. If water did break magnets, you'd drop the magnet into the glass of water. You wouldn't drop the glass of water on the magnets. Even his crazy nonsense bull is more wrong than it has to be. If you drop a glass of water on a magnet, you have a wet, working magnet in a pile of broken glass. You're like Mr. Wizard with a massive head injury. Drop the glass on the magnet. I don't know, Mr. Wizard. Do it. It will break the magnet. I'm pretty sure it'll break the glass. No way of knowing unless we try. I feel like I do. Do it. Oh, well, we can put all the pieces in the freezer and they'll stick back together. But Mr. Wizard, it's not ice, it's glass. It looks like ice. By the way, we had to significantly cut down that aircraft carrier magnet story for brevity and clarity. The original version was much longer. I think Trump may have been a little distracted by the legal trouble swirling around him. He's now been disqualified from the ballot in not one but two states for violating the 14th Amendment by inciting an insurrection, and more states could join them. And this week alone, he's facing yet another series of major court dates.
Another big week in court for Donald Trump. Monday is the deadline for pretrial motions challenging his charges in Georgia. Tuesday, he plans to be in D.C. when the Circuit Court of Appeals hears his claims of immunity on January 6th related charges. Then 2 days later, closing arguments will begin in his New York civil fraud trial. And then he might be in New York on January 16th for the E. Jean Carroll defamation trial.
The stakes couldn't be higher or more time sensitive. The D.C. election interference case's original trial date of March 4th remains in limbo. And that trial date affects Trump's Mar-a-Lago trial date, which affects his Manhattan DA's criminal case trial date, and so on and so on.
It's not good when a list of your ongoing court cases ends with "and so on and so on." Cable news is literally 24/7, and even they don't have time to list every trial date Donald Trump is facing. I'm not sure we could either. I mean, let's see here. The election interference trial date affects his Mar-a-Lago trial date, which affects his hush money trial date, which affects his Manhattan traffic court trial date, which affects his dog napping trial date, which affects his trial date for stuffing dinner rolls from the salad buffet at Ruby Tuesday in his coat pocket, which affects his Supreme Court trial date, which affects his Planet Fitness free trial date, which affects his lawsuit against Planet Fitness for false advertising because he thought it was an actual planet and not a gym trial date, which affects his jaywalking trial date, which affects his treason trial date, which affects his trial date for getting out of bed in the morning and putting on his pants. Trump is clearly shaken by the court cases and the rulings disqualifying him from the ballot, as well as Biden's decision to focus on the ongoing threat to democracy Trump poses. On Friday, Biden gave a speech marking the 3-year anniversary of the January 6th coup attempt and specifically called out Trump multiple times.
Today, we're here to answer the most important of questions. Is democracy still America's sacred cause? Need it. Trump is now promising a full-scale campaign of revenge and retribution, his words, for some years to come. They were his words, not mine. He went on to say he'd be a dictator on day one. I mean, if I were writing a book of fiction, I said an American president said that, and not in jest. He's threatened the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff with the death penalty. Says he should be put to death because the chairman put his oath to the Constitution ahead of his personal loyalty to Trump. This is coming from a president who called, when he visited cemeteries, called dead soldiers suckers and losers. Remember that?
They're saps because they risked their lives for strangers.
Risk their lives for their country.
You country ain't your blood. You remember that.
Sometimes I'm really happy the Irish in me can't be seen.
Biden's the only president who refers to his ethnicity like it's a Hulk who has to be restrained at all times. You wouldn't like me when I'm Irish. So Biden laid out the threat to democracy in clear and plain-spoken terms. Now let's see Donald Trump enter the intellectual arena with his thoughtfully crafted response.
Crooked Joe is staging his pathetic fear-mongering campaign event in Pennsylvania today. Did you see him? He was stuttering through the whole thing. He's going, he's a threat to democracy. They've weaponized government. He's saying, I'm a threat to democracy. He's a threat to democracy. Wow, okay. Couldn't read the word.
Great, so our choice this November is between a guy who's 81 years old and another guy who's in third grade.
This is what you sound like, democracy. You lost the election, bub. You lost the election, bub.
And sure, it's easy for Trump not to stumble when he's talking about important stuff like pants and magnets. Oh, I just had a thought. What if Trump puts his pants on with magnets?
Every morning I wake up, slip a couple of magnets into my tidy whities, and then my heavily magnetized pants shoot out of the closet, and they come right onto my legs. It's a wonderful system. The only downside, I can't go outside if it's raining because, as you all know, as has well been established by science, if magnets get even a little bit wet, boom, pants around my ankles. That's why I wear a giant coat.
Does Biden stumble? He does sometimes. But if you're voting for Trump because you're looking for a candidate who never flubs their words, then I have some terrible news for you. Roll it, Alex.
10,000 known or suspected gang members. Every single car out there, even the really expensive ones, until it stops its dangerous provocation, controlled by large donors, unelected regulators and regulators.
The carters of power, they're our carters. They're not their carters. These are our carters.
Another historic step toward future development and future with a future, a real future. And I have to say, that's a real future. Our hope is a word and world. Authority and authoritarian powers. Beating expectations in the House for the midterm and midterm year. Developing an internet, this is so totally important, an intercontinental ballistic missile. They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children.
They do. They sacrifice for the furniture and the future of the children. And furniture is very important for children. That's where they sit in the morning to put on their pants. And every election since, and including 2020, when the MAGA threat to democracy has been at the center of the conversation, MAGA has lost. And that's because no matter how many inscrutable rants or conspiracy theories they spin, they can't change the basic fact that most Americans like democracy and want to keep it. And that's, once again, what's at stake in this election. We have to reaffirm those stakes every day from now until November, almost as if it were part of our daily routine, the same way you brush your teeth, drink your coffee, or you
wake up in the morning and put on your pants. I love studying the, if you take a look, I mean, the wars, I don't know what it is. The Civil War was so fascinating, so horrible. It was so horrible, but so fascinating. It was, I don't know, it was just different. I just find it, I'm so attracted to seeing it.
Really?
So many mistakes were made. See, there was something I think could have been negotiated, to be honest with you. I think you could have negotiated that.
Yeah, nothing could have been easier about negotiating the Civil War. How about this? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, totally enslaved. Tuesday, Thursday, alternate weekends, totally free. And I'll throw in power windows, but my manager's going to kill me. Have you met my manager? It's John Wilkes Booth. Get over here. I want to show you.
What was it like inside that courtroom?
It was quite tense, right? So Jack Smith is on the other side of the courtroom, and he has basically three or four rows of his lawyers from his office. Donald Trump, on the other hand, had a smaller group. They actually had an extra role they weren't able to fill up. But essentially, Donald Trump walked in 5 minutes before this proceeding got underway. He unbuttoned his jacket, sat down, had a little small talk with his lawyers here. But he was quiet for most of the argument that his lawyers were making directly. He got a little bit more animated and started writing notes on a yellow legal pad when it was time for the special counsel to make their arguments. So he heard some things he obviously didn't like there. But honestly, the thing that he got the most worked up about amidst all this legalese that probably went over his head is when his own lawyer, after Donald Trump had scribbled those yellow notes on rebuttal, had said essentially that Donald Trump was leading in all of the polls. And this was all about Joe Biden trying to keep him out of office. Just sort of a very sharp political argument is what Donald Trump liked the best. And when Donald Trump heard his lawyer make that argument, he sort of shook his head vigorously. And that was sort of the most animated that we saw him during this entire proceeding, Jose.
So there were the political arguments, but then, of course, the legal arguments that are key, Ryan. What were the main arguments from each side?
You know, so essentially, there were really tough questioning that we saw come from the judges here about whether or not how far this immunity that Donald Trump believes he had would extend. There were, questions about whether or not this could apply to someone who ordered SEAL Team 6 to kill their political rivals. And they sort of danced around that as much as they possibly could.
Donald Trump, he was in, he was in court again today, and it wasn't for the porn star spank cover-up or the steal the election in Georgia or the my business is a complete fraud in New York. The violent overthrow of the government one, right? Okay. He was in a D.C. appeals court hearing about a challenge to Jack Smith's January 6th case. You see, Trump's lawyers are arguing the Constitution affords him total immunity from prosecution for any actions he undertook as president. Yeah. So it's not just the insurrection, it's anything. Stealing documents, bludgeoning Puerto Ricans with paper towels. He won't lose his security deposit for the wall catch-up. Now, the judges seemed somewhat skeptical of this insane idea, and one of them posed a logical hypothetical.
In your view, could a president sell pardons or sell military secrets? Those are official acts, right? It's an official act to grant a pardon. It's an official act to communicate with a foreign government. Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival?
Hold on, Your Honor, could you please slow down? Okay. Sell pardons, yeah, okay. Assassination card, ass. How many asses in assassination? This is all great. Keep them coming. No bad ideas in a brainstorm. Here we go.
Now, Trump's lawyer clearly did not want to answer this question, but the judge insisted.
I asked you a yes or no question. Could a president who ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival who was not impeached, would he be subject to criminal prosecution?
If he were impeached and convicted first.
So your answer is no.
To recap, Trump's lawyers are arguing that the president, who is currently Joe Biden, could order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political rival, who is currently Donald Trump. That is a weird position. That is a really weird position for your lawyer to take.
Your Honor, there is nothing in any law book that would prevent you from taking that gavel right now and smashing my client's skull like a Brazil nut, then scooping out his delicious brain meat. The law allows it, and I demand it, for the love of God. Smash his skull. Yum, yum. Yum, yum.
So to recap, or to re-recap, Trump and his lawyers are arguing that the president ought to be able to murder his political opponents and then cannot be prosecuted unless he gets impeached. Our commander-in-chief has godlike powers over life and death, as long as his party controls the Senate. And I just want to say, please vote. I've said, begging you. And I've just said a lot of things about this guy, and I want to live to see the next Avatar movie, okay? Now, for those of you who buy the argument that you have to impeach the president in order for him to face criminal justice. I want to remind you exactly what Mitch McConnell said in order to avoid convicting Trump for January 6th.
Impeachment was never meant to be the final forum for American justice. We have a criminal justice system in this country. We have civil litigation. And former presidents are not immune from being accountable by either one.
And now, 3 years later, as American democracy sits on the precipice of destruction, Mitch McConnell stands on the ramparts and defiantly says, Here's the thing. Trump attended this hearing today voluntarily. He did not have to be there. But over the weekend, he complained to his supporters in a fundraising email about how annoying it was to face consequences, saying, "Twice in this final week, I will be forced off the campaign trail and into courtrooms for phony witch hunts in both New York and Washington, D.C. I've instructed my team to ship any patriot who contributes $47 or more to peacefully defend our movement, their very own official Trump 2024 calendar for free." Yes, it's totally free. It's totally free. It's all part of his New Year's sale. Buy one, get that one for $47. Now, last night, Trump sat down for an interview with former Fox News personality Lou Dobbs. Trump kicked off the conversation by paying Lou a compliment.
"I've been your friend and I've been your watcher. I would watch you all the time, and I still do it whenever I can."
Okay, that's a little creepy.
"I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know you've been Lou or Dobbs, and I know your hair dies fake."
Trump also, Trump also whined about the Russia investigation and how he wished then Attorney General Bill Barr had done a little more to shut it down.
"Barr was a coward. He didn't have the courage to do what he should have done. When they said they were going to impeach him, he became a marshmallow. A big marshmallow."
Really sounds like somebody forgot to eat before the interview.
"He became a big marshmallow. So I thought one bite couldn't hurt. Then a Secret Service agent tried to stop me, but, and you won't believe this, at the last minute, the agent became a giant turkey leg, you know, with those little flavor lines coming off him. And that's when I saw the pie on the windowsill and started floating toward it like a hobo."
So the D.C. Circuit Court, which sounds like a made-up court, it sounds like circus court, which is basically what it was. And that's where they got the term. You ever heard of this? Kangaroo court? This is because in Australia, when they do horrible courts, it's like a circus, and they have kangaroos in their circus acting as judges. And that's basically what we have at the D.C. Circuit, a sort of made-up court, okay, where they... very skeptical. That's what all the fake news is reporting. They were very skeptical during the hearing of my strong presidential immunity. And everybody I've talked to, all the legal scholars, a lot of legal scholars, better than the fake legal scholars you see on the left, but all the strong conservative legal scholars I've spoken to, Judge Dredd offered complete support. I think he wrote a post on Truth Social recently that had complete support for this. All the evidence of presidential immunity. In the 1980s, I had sex with a lot of women. A lot more than you. You wish you had the sex that I had. And it was very powerful, very strong. And I didn't use condoms. And I can say that now that my first wife, Ivana, is buried very respectfully at my golf course. But I didn't wear condoms throughout the 80s. And it was dangerous, but not like now. Now you can have sex with no condoms and there's not a problem. It's total safety. But in the 80s, it was dangerous. And I got no AIDS, no HIV. And that was when we first developed the doctrine of presidential immunity. And so now they tried to impeach me. You know, the 80s tried to give me AIDS and everybody failed. Everybody failed. And they want to argue that I don't have presidential immunity. No, that's probably the stupidest thing. I think it's more stupid. Excuse me. I think it's more stupid to say that I don't have presidential immunity when all the evidence is total immunity. So the D.C. Circus Court is a fraud. We're not going to respect their decision unless they decide for me, at which point, you know, they made a very strong decision. But we don't plan on respecting it, and we'll appeal to the Supreme Court, which, as you know, from, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, you know, Amy Coney Bartholomew doesn't believe in condoms because it's against her religion, so she'll understand my immunity. Clarence Thomas doesn't believe in immunity or consent, so we know we've got him. Alito is just a nasty person who will vote for me because, you know, he likes to inflict pain on the radical left. Brett Kavanaugh, we already know, he's pro-Trump when it comes to sexual immunities. And then we just have to win over one other person, either Pencil Neck Gorsuch or Rhino Roberts. And I think we can get one of them, if not both of them, with strong, peaceful Second Amendment phone call threats of peace. And so when this gets to the Supreme Court, we're going to win, and I will be officially declared immune from prosecution and prostitution. No AIDS, no crime. Bye-bye.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.